Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host of the program where each week we take a look at this question, and it's a pretty big one. What in the world is ancient future Christian faith? The program is brought to you by Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community right here in Sacramento, California. And by the way, I'd love for you to zip over to our website and learn more about the church, more about this thing called ancient future faith. And if you have questions, drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us in person on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at the chapel on Winding Way. Find more information on the web. Each week on this program, I love to bring you a diverse collection, an odd assortment of guests and folks who have devoted their lives to this thing called ancient future faith. We have pastors and professors and academics and all kinds of folks. Today is no exception to my list of wonderful guests. I'm proud to say she's a friend. She is also a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Harris Clayton, and we are glad to have you with us today. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's awesome to be here.
Jennifer, you and I met through the Institute for Worship Studies, where I meet up with some of my favorite pals. You are a graduate of the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies. And I guess the first time we met was when you were finishing up your doctoral work and I was helping you with the formatting and editing and so on of your thesis. Is that where we first crossed paths?
That is indeed where we crossed paths, and that process was far less painful with your sense of humor and understanding.
Well, I think of my mission as pastoral during that. As you're finishing up a thesis, it's good to have a friend there along with you. Jennifer, before we jump into your launching of a new ministry, and I'm totally intrigued with it because I think this is another place that you and I have some things in common. Tell us just a little bit about you in just a few moments. Tell us everything we need to know about you just so folks can get a sense of who you are and what makes you tick.
I think what most people will remember about me is that I love to laugh and I love to make people laugh. I feel like life is hard enough without having a moment or two of laughter to ease the road. But
yeah.
I am the proverbial square peg in a round hole, and my whole life has sort of been that way.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I feel like I'm on the cusp of finally figuring out why that is and the unique gift that God has put me on the earth to bring to others. I'm married, and we moved here to Pittsburgh just about 4 years ago, originally from northern Michigan in the frozen tundras on Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Lived in Florida for 10 years after I finished my master's degree in music and met my husband there. And church brat, I call myself a PGK. My grandpa was the pastor of the church that I grew up in. And my mom was the pianist in the band, and I joined the band when I was 13, and church has just been a part of my life, for better or worse, as they say.
Did you play the tambourine like the littlest girl in the Partridge Family, or what did you do in the band?
It's funny you say that, because I grew up in a quite charismatic, non-denominational church, and tambourine playing was very, very docile compared to some of the things that went on in worship on Sunday morning.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Jennifer Harris Clayton. Dr. Clayton is a graduate of the Institute for Worship Studies. I'm proud to say she's also a friend. She's also a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network, and I do hope we have some time to talk about that organization. It's the organization that I founded and am the chair of, and you can find more information about that network at ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. Jennifer, you are steeped in church. You grew up there. Sounds like our stories are very similar. And you have seen firsthand that churches can be some of the most marvelous, wonderful places of Christian community that exist on the earth. The church is the bride of Christ, and while flawed, it's still God's chosen vessel and vehicle for sharing the gospel. But as we both know, church can also be a place where folks end up being wounded. And that really is the genesis, the beginning, the kernel, isn't it, of this new ministry focus that you have begun to be interested in and to take on. Talk a little bit about your heart for that and how all this came to be. Talk about the ministry, and let's hear about what God's doing through you in this area.
be in that proverbial square peg round hole, it seemed that throughout my life, the things that I had interest in and the things that I was good at just seemed to be a little discombobulated. They didn't all make sense. And until the birth of this ministry that I really feel like all the pieces are showing kind of where they fit. And you're right, church is a beautiful expression of what God intended for his people and to experience in terms of community and service and growth and challenge and all of those things. But it is the place, I think, of some of the most deep and catastrophic, if I may use that word, woundedness that happens, particularly for people that serve the church in leadership.
Yes.
And I read a quote a while ago about how the mental health therapists, counselors, psychologists, all of that grew so large was because the church was not equipped or was not willing to address issues that needed to be addressed for mental health for its people. And so I think that this ministry is kind of an expression of that same pattern, if you will, that people don't want to talk about the elephants that are in our rooms. And one of the biggest elephants in the room is that people behave badly.
Yeah.
We are the bride of Christ. We are heirs and partners with God in Christ. And yet that sanctification process is not complete and we behave badly. And wounded people wound people. And that's the basis for this ministry. We need a place to be able to talk openly and frankly about the things that have been done to us and the things that we have done to others, and a place to find healing and acceptance and love and forgiveness, and yet also a place that encourages us to move forward in healing and moving toward better love and better grace and try to figure out maybe a little bit more clearly what that means to walk that out, especially after somebody really, really, really hurts our feelings or treats us very, very badly.
I think that's a place where you and I have some things in common. Because of my work with the Institute, because of my position at the Ancient Future Faith Network, and because of me being a pastor, I get calls, golly, every month, and sometimes many times a month, from people, and not just folks here in this area, but from folks across the country who have run up against very difficult situations in church. Many times they are church leaders, say deacons or volunteer kinds of positions, but also staff people. And I'm afraid I have heard too many stories of church staff folks who have just been eaten and spit out and are having a really tough time dealing with it. You have a heart for that, and it is that heart that has led you, under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, there's no doubt about that, to form a ministry called the Wounded Worshipper Sanctuary. Could you talk a little bit about what your vision is for Wounded Worshipper Sanctuary and tell me what you've got in mind? Because I'm happy to say, well, I don't want to spill the beans, but let's just say that you are going to be coming here to Sacramento later in the summer, and we want to be talking about that several more times than just today. But tell us a little bit about your heart for Wounded Worshipper Sanctuary and what you want it to be.
There's a lot of work and there's a lot of fear to look a problem in the eye and say, this is a problem. And in my experience, unfortunately, that is a particularly fearful thing to do in the church. At least in my experience and in talking to a lot of people, as I'm sure, Chris, you've experienced as well, we don't like to admit that we are still flawed people. I think there's an attitude about American Christianity that once we accept Jesus, that a magic wand has been waved over our head and we are instantly kind, good, loving, perfect people. And while in the spiritual realm, that is completely our identity, in the physical realm, until we either get to heaven or Christ returns, that is still a process. And it is my heart for this ministry to be a place where that process is engaged in and wrestled with and struggled with as much integrity and godly help as we possibly can muster. My ultimate goal is for those of our friends, and myself included, and yourself included, that have just been so hurt. It is difficult in that place to continue to serve. It is beyond difficult in that place to get up and lead other people in worship, and it is beyond difficult to continue to offer that which God has most uniquely gifted us to do for his purposes on the earth. And that is the overall goal of this ministry, is to find those people, gather them together, and help them find new life, new strength, and new hope, new courage to return to where they are called to serve with renewed sense of I can do this because this is who I am in Christ and because I know that God has gifted me uniquely to do these things.
You're listening to an interview with Jennifer Harris Clayton. She's a doctor of worship studies, and she is, I'm proud to say, also a friend and a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. She's also launching a brand new ministry called the Wounded Worshiper Sanctuary. And just before the break there, Jennifer, you were talking about sort of the philosophy and what your hope and dream is for this particular ministry. But let's talk practicalities just for a second. You said there toward the end that you wanted to gather people together. So I'm thinking that what you have in mind is a retreat type setting. Is that right? You want to go to a certain location, get folks together who have been wounded, particularly but not limited to church staff folks, but any, frankly, who have experienced spiritual abuse of some kind in their church, and get them together in a retreat type setting. Do I have it right thus far?
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what that would look like. What's the format of this thing going to be? I'm assuming that you're going to work overtime to try to make it to be a safe place for people to come and share feelings. But talk a little bit about the practical, the nuts and bolts. How would a retreat like this work?
Because of the nature of the work that would happen, both personally and in group discussion, the retreat style format, I believe, really does lend itself most efficiently and most beneficially to the work that we would want to do. Getting away from life for a little while and kind of immersing oneself in the work. We know that Jesus himself had to remove himself to another place to talk to the Father on a number of occasions.
Sure.
And I liken this retreat style ministry to that. But also, yes, creating carefully as we can an atmosphere of safety, of confidentiality, and also so that one or two doesn't hog the entire conversation about their problems for the entire time.
No, that's right. That makes sense to me.
We all have those kinds of people in our life that encourage us to grow in our faith walk. The possibility of retreat offers, first of all, I think when one would go to a retreat, you are just naturally more open to receive new things because you're taking that step to actually go somewhere new in order to do that. Second of all, away from places that may actually trigger pain and woundedness. You know, I find it ironic for myself. I still live six doors down from the church where I served and resigned my position. And it's a daily reminder, a daily opportunity, sometimes several times a day, to offer back to God the things where I felt very, very wounded with. Hopefully the retreat center would be a place of safety in that respect also, fewer emotional triggers. But also to offer people not only some teaching time, some small group time, but also the opportunity for some personal time as they would choose, whether in solitude, whether with a counselor or a prayer partner, with some interactive worship expressions, however that might be, to fit the personality of the wounded one, but also physically as well, with good food and a warm blanket and a great brisk walk in the morning if that's your thing, and other types of full body, full mind, spirit, soul connection kind of thing.
I remember when you were first talking to me in the earlier days, which at your fast-paced way of life was only probably about a month ago. But as you were beginning to talk about launching this ministry, I think you were kind of wondering, hey, is there a need for this? And I just came out of my chair and said, absolutely, yes. I'll tell you, honestly, I hear from people constantly who have been hurt and wounded by the church. Now, we should pause to say that sometimes people's felt needs are what's wounded and hurt in the church, and they need to have that lovingly pointed out, that your idea of woundedness by the church might not be actual woundedness, because sometimes God calls us to crucify things in ourselves, and that's not ever not painful, right? I mean, sometimes God calls us to look at very difficult things in our own lives, and what someone may think is woundedness caused by the church is actually a place for growth. But we definitely have a need for this. I think I told you the story that I was invited by Breakforth Canada, billed as North America's largest worship convention convocation. And I just felt really impressed to offer a session called The Wounded Worshiper, where we would just simply have an opportunity for prayer and anointing and counseling for people, not necessarily workers or staff people, but just folks who had been hurt or wounded in church. Jennifer, I was going to say you couldn't believe, but I know you could. It's amazing how many people came out. We were flooded with the need for folks to talk about what had happened. And some of the stories would just raise the hair on the back of your head, I'll tell you. But you are hoping very much to say, hey, If you have been wounded by the church, there is a sanctuary for you here. It's a virtual one. It's a retreat. It's a place where we're going to minister to you and for you to begin to heal from this. And I'll tell you, I'm thrilled to death that you're going to be doing this for the first time to do a retreat here in Sacramento. Yeah?
I think in a world where loneliness and depression and disconnectedness has never been more evident. It's amazing. We've never been more connected, and yet people have never felt more disconnected.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's really important to have it be a physical location and a physical experience with real people. You can read the books and you can watch online videos and all those kinds of things, but until you actually take the work and bump it up against somebody's physical body who kind of might have bad breath and irritates you, that's where the rubber meets the road. And I'll tell you, Chris, I felt so strongly in January of this year that a spirit within me just said, go, let's get moving.
Yeah.
And the connection that he also impressed was to call you. And I did. And neither one of us knew why until we started talking.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's amazing. And I think we lose sight of how amazing God is. Mm-hmm. To be in a place away with the express purpose of being open to receive will be transformative in itself for a number of people, because I think, frankly, we don't expect to receive enough. We're not poised or positioned to be open to receive from the Spirit on a regular basis because we're so focused elsewhere. And what you were saying before is so true. Woundedness is not just a result of what people do to us. I may be treading on some theological deep ground here, but woundedness is our natural state of being in our sinful nature. And while the work of Christ has taken all of that and accomplished all of that work, there's still that now and not yet tension.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work of the Spirit within us for sanctification, for the crucifixion of self, for the dying to self, is also extraordinarily painful and messy at times.
For sure.
But I think that it is not nearly as important to God that we feel good about the necessary work that he needs to do within us. I think he is most concerned about our eternal destiny, our eternal soul. The work that he wants to do in us is so much bigger than that. And it gets so messy, it's hard to know what's up, what's down. In our culture, to have something good be painful is unthinkable.
Right.
You know, we want to feel good all the time. And sometimes it's in the middle of that horribly difficult emotional mess that the biggest goodness happens, because that's where we experience God for real, for true, in a way that transforms us like we would have never experienced anywhere else. And that, I think, is the gift of grace.
Let's remember that Paul says that God's power shows up when mine runs out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he chooses to tabernacle. That's one of the reasons I love the name of your ministry, Wounded Worship Sanctuary, because sanctuary implies about three or four really deep and broad things. And one of them is it's a place where God shows up and tabernacles. Well, let's talk some practicalities. You're going to be coming to Sacramento in August. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first of all, if people want to read a little more about you, see your picture, read your bio, they can zip over to ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. That's ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org, and click on the network members page. And on that page, folks, you'll see Jennifer's picture and can read her bio. But also, Jennifer is one of our Ancient Future Faith resource partners, and that means that her ministry is listed in what we call our marketplace. And if you click on the icon on the homepage called Marketplace, you'll see a variety of wonderful vendors, members of the Ancient Future Faith Network, who have a variety of goods and services. And Jennifer's brand new ministry, Wounded Worshipper Sanctuary, is listed there. She talks about the philosophy behind it, what she hopes to do, and there'll be some links there for you to get in touch with her through that page as well. Jennifer, let's tell people a little bit about the retreat here in August, and I promise that we'll have you on at least another time or two before then so that folks can make plans to come. So a little bit about August, would you?
Yes, I'm so excited and overwhelmed and afraid, as I think it always is with new things come our way. But the doors have swung open, and that has been my prayer, and the prayer of those that I've set have prayed for me and prayed for this ministry, is that God would fling open doors that needed to be opened and to close them tightly that were meant to be shut. And doors are flinging open. And they flung open at the Christ the King Retreat Center right near you in Sacramento. And so we will be retreating there August 22nd through the 25th, and I am just excited.
Yeah, me too. Folks, that location is the Christ the King Retreat Center. If you don't know it, it's a beautiful setting in Citrus Heights, just off of Old Auburn Boulevard. And the dates, again, are August 22 through 25. Now, Jennifer will be your contact person for more information or for signing up for the retreat. There is a cost associated with the retreat. You'll be staying there at the retreat center. Meals are also taken there together, and it'll be an amazing experience. Folks, if there is someone out there listening to us today who has been wounded by the church, maybe you're a staff member or former staff member, maybe you've experienced some sort of spiritual abuse or think you might have in a church setting, then this Wounded Worshiper Sanctuary Retreat may be just the thing that you've been searching for, and I'm hoping that you'll reach out and want to get some more information and try to attend. I was just thinking, Jennifer, in our own church, there are something like 3 or 4 former staff members, pastors, music ministers who are trying to heal from past difficult experiences in churches. So I know, as you do, that there is a need for this.
I think the need is more staggering than we may realize, because even in my own experience with being wounded in service of the church, it was not ever something that I felt I had a place to talk about or was even encouraged to talk about. And so I think once we open the doors, I think we're going to discover that this is a very, very needed ministry. What I am most excited about, however, with this ministry is that this is not a place where we come and bash the church. This is not a place where we come together to bash those who have hurt us or to talk about all the ways in which things are broken, but that this is a place where we acknowledge what has happened, we acknowledge pain and the sin of it against us, but we move forward towards healing, restoration, if and where it's possible, but that we get fixed up, so to speak, so that we can go back out there into the fray, the battle.
Yeah.
Because as long as we have breath, God ain't done with us yet.
No, for
and
sure.
And we are not done with that which he has equipped us to do for his work on earth. I think the worst possible thing that we can do, and we've all done it, I know when I'm extremely hurt, the last thing I want to do is pick up my head, put on my shoes, and go back out there. And yet, if we do not, evil wins. And that is not what God has for us.
Yeah, well said. Folks, again, the easiest way for you to get into touch with Jennifer is to zip over to the ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org site, click on Marketplace, and look for her ministry, Wounded Worshiper Sanctuary. In subsequent broadcasts, we will also have some additional information and contact information for you. Please feel free also to just contact me through the church website, epiclesis.org, and I can get you in touch with Jennifer. The main thing is to mark your calendars for August 22 through 25 here in Sacramento for the inaugural edition retreat of the Wounded Worshiper Sanctuary. Jennifer Harris Clayton, thank you so much for joining me today on this edition of the radio program. I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
Folks, until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future runs through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, folks. Pastor Chris here with a little note to say that we're right in the middle of one of the best times of the whole Christian year, the celebration of Easter. In the ancient church, Easter was a season of rejoicing, not just a day, and the Easter season is a great opportunity to see what ancient future Christian worship at Epiclesis looks like. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.